Cancer means something different to everyone. For survivors, it can be empowering. For loved ones, it can be crippling. And for people who have never experienced it firsthand, it is just another disease that most people will not give a second thought. I've seen cancer destroy many families, including mine. My name is Carly Compton, and I'm a freshman at Montgomery County High School. Cancer has impacted me more than it ever should have, considering I'm only 14. My first encounter with cancer was when I was in the second grade. Until then, I had never really thought about how deeply cancer affects people's lives. Because of my experiences, I would like to be an oncologic ophthalmologist, an eye surgeon that specializes in cancer. It all started on what seemed like a normal day for your typical second grader. I woke up, got ready, then went downstairs for breakfast. When I arrived in the living room, I saw something I had never seen. My mother was crying. I thought, what could be so awful that would cause my mom to cry? It turned out that she had just heard the news that one of her best friends, Joan Tackett, had been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. My heart sank as I witnessed the sadness in my mother's eyes. To my mother, Joan was like a best friend, mother, sister, and aunt, all rolled into one beautiful person. Joan and my mom would spend countless hours talking about politics and world events. Joan was several years older than my mom, and therefore she had a big influence on her life from an early age. In my mother's eyes, Joan was perfect. The only thing ever argued about was Joan's habit of smoking cigarettes. Naturally, when I was born, Joan was a big part of my childhood. She was at the hospital when I was born. We shared a birthday. We always spent holidays with Joan and her family. She was a teacher, mother, grandmother, and a kind soul. Later in life, Joan became a high school history and government teacher. She had an amazing impact on her students' lives and the lives of anyone around her. Joan's cancer journey began one day in January of 2014. While she was at home, she suddenly became disoriented with balance issues and could not walk well. Her family decided to take her to the hospital. Doctors performed many tests. Finally, a doctor entered her room with some updated news. He coldly told her that she had stage 4 lung cancer that had already spread to her brain. Coupled with her family's shock, the rude tone the doctor used to break the news only added to the heartbreak. After just 3 months of fighting this awful disease, Joan passed away on April 1st of 2014, one day after her 61st birthday. My next encounter with cancer was 5 years later. In August of 2018, my maternal grandmother, whom I called Ma, was attending her great-grandson's birthday party. Due to the pain she had been experiencing in her hip, she fell while going up the stairs. Ma was taken to the emergency room and received stitches in her head and was treated for other minor injuries. Several days later, she was still having pain in her hip, so she decided to follow up with her family doctor. The doctor ordered a computerized tomography CT scan to make sure that she had not injured her hip. The results of the scan revealed that she had 2 hairline fractures in her hip. Several weeks later, the pain continued to grow worse. The doctor ordered more tests. Her doctor later discovered that she had some abnormal spots on her uterus. The next step in testing was a full-body positron emission tomography scan, a PET scan. This test revealed the devastating news that she had stage 4 lung cancer that had spread throughout her body. Ma's treatment plan consisted of pain medications, steroids, and chemotherapy. After just one chemotherapy treatment, she had to be rushed to the emergency room. She was experiencing severe abdominal pain. The emergency room doctor found that she had diverticulosis. This is a condition in which small bulging pouches develop in the digestive tract. The doctor told her it was not too serious and to watch her diet and stress levels. Yes, he said stress levels. Imagine being told just days prior you had stage 4 lung cancer, only to be told a couple days later to try and watch your stress levels. The following week, Ma's pain had significantly increased, and she was transported by ambulance to the hospital. After another scan, they found that her diverticulosis had caused a large abscess on her colon and it had ruptured. They quickly moved her to a larger hospital for emergency surgery. After many hours of surgery, we were told that they had to remove a part of her colon and that she would need a colostomy bag. The doctor was concerned about how well Maul would recover from the surgery due to the cancer diagnosis and treatments. This news was very upsetting for Ma because she had to watch her mother and 2 sisters go through the struggle of living with a colostomy bag. She had helped take care of all 3 of them until they passed away. She did not want to put her children through that same experience. She spent a couple of weeks in the ICU, and on Christmas Day of 2018, she was moved to a regular hospital room. I remember spending that Christmas with her in the hospital. Even though she was sick, she had planned to surprise me and my sister with a cruise to Aruba the following summer. We later found out that she had been secretly planning this trip for months now, and she was going to go with us. The doctor told us that her first and only chemo treatment had been what caused this diverticulitis. They also said that she was not healing very well from the surgery because cancer had depleted her protein levels. Mal's body simply did not produce enough protein to heal her. Her oncologist suggested radiation therapy for the tumors on her spine to help with her mobility. She received 10 radiation treatments while she was still in the hospital. Her team of doctors concluded that the treatments had not helped her cancer or her mobility. They decided to send her to a specialty facility that could help with rehabilitation and her other complicated medical issues. Mal spent the entire month of January in the specialty facility. She never gave up hope and did anything possible to fight this disease. She trusted her doctors and did everything they told her to do. The doctors and nurses were in awe of her strength and determination in beating cancer. It was during this time I realized that she was losing her battle and was never going to get to go home. We tried to stay optimistic while around her, but we all knew she was getting worse and was never going to recover. After just 6 months of fighting cancer, her doctor decided it was time to move her to a facility closer to home in the care of hospice. On February 5th, 2019, she arrived at the hospice facility. She was able to speak very little, but joked that the ambulance drivers did a really good job of driving her. This was the last sentence she ever spoke. Her five children spent the next 4 days comforting her and reminiscing about childhood memories. On Saturday, February 9th, Mal passed away at the age of 69. I really miss my grandmother. I learned so much from her. I miss the camping trips, learning new recipes, learning about our family's history, and the best peanut butter fudge in the whole world. In honor of my grandmother, in June of 2019, my entire family went on the cruise to Aruba she had secretly planned for me and my sister. While there, we had saved some of the rose petals from her funeral service and threw them into the ocean as a memorial for her. When she planned this trip, she did not realize that she would not be able to go with us. So by throwing the petals in the ocean, it felt like she was there with us. My most recent experience with cancer was with my paternal grandmother, Memal. Less than a month prior to Mal's death, Memal was diagnosed with colon cancer. This diagnosis added to her already lengthy list of medical issues, including diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, thyroid problems, and heart issues. As one might expect, colon cancer only complicated these medical issues. Memal had several tests done also. After a colonoscopy, the doctor said that she had a tumor that needed attention as soon as possible. As a second opinion, she had a PET scan performed, revealing the cancerous tumor in her colon. After consulting with the oncologist, she decided to have the cancer removed. The surgery was scheduled for April of 2019. Her surgery was postponed due to heart issues that would have complicated the surgery. The surgery was rescheduled almost a month later, but was delayed again due to these same problems. A week later, she finally had the colon cancer surgery. Post-surgery, her doctors were confident that all the cancer had been removed. However, a few days before being released from the hospital, Memal suffered a stroke. Fortunately, after only a month in a rehabilitation facility, she drastically improved. Tasks like walking short distances, feeding and dressing herself, tasks we take for granted, were slowly coming back to her. Next, she was moved to an extended care facility closer to home for some extended rehab. About a week later, she suffered her second stroke. This stroke was more debilitating than the first because all of the rehabilitation process made thus far had been lost. This proved very devastating to her ability to fight and recover from the situation. After two more minor strokes, the doctor told my family that the medication used to prevent these strokes was and to thin her blood was causing brain bleeds. Without the medication, she would suffer additional strokes. At this point, the decision was made to discontinue the medication. Memal was sent home and placed in hospice care. After 6 weeks in hospice care, she passed away peacefully in her sleep on October 20th, 2019, at the age of 74. This loss was very devastating for me as well. Memal and I shared so many fun memories together. She taught me so many delicious recipes, including cream candy, chocolate syrup, homemade suckers, and many more. I remember every summer, my sister, my cousin, and I would always go and spend the night with her, and it was so much fun. While she was sick, I would go visit her every day possible. It was so devastating to see her get worse every time I saw her, and it was absolutely heartbreaking to have to say goodbye to someone so special to me. My experiences with cancer have forever impacted my life, and I no longer think of it as just a disease. Cancer is a serious problem that we need to fix immediately. No one should have to go through all the pain my family and many others have endured. Lung cancer incidence and mortality rates in Kentucky greatly surpass those of other states and the nation as a whole. Not only is this one of the most common cancers, with 3,800 newly diagnosed cases per year in the Commonwealth, it is also one of the most fatal. And unlike many other types of cancer, it is highly preventable, as about 90% are caused by cigarette smoking. As Kentuckians, it is imperative that we address this tragic issue affecting our loved ones. We need to ask ourselves how we got to this point and what we can do to help lower our cancer rates. Personally, one way I would suggest helping decrease our cancer rates is educating Kentuckians on the harmful effects of tobacco usage. A common factor in all three of my cancer experiences is smoking. Joan, Ma, and Memal each began smoking before they understood the negative effects it has on your body. During their childhood, studies were just coming out linking smoking to cancer. However, since they had little access to the latest medical news, they, like most people their age, never realized tobacco's dangers. Tobacco smoking remains the leading cause of preventable death worldwide and is the single greatest risk factor for developing chronic diseases such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, and lung cancer. By educating people about the risks of tobacco and broadly spreading awareness, we can help lower Kentucky's smoking rates, which can lower our cancer rates. Today, a common alternative to smoking is vaping. For my generation, this could be even more detrimental than smoking because we do not know the long-term effects this has on our body. I witnessed teens at school vaping in class daily. After school, you have to walk through the clouds of smoke just to walk to your car. Our generation should have learned from our earlier generations that inhaling chemicals into your lungs is not good for your body. Unlike the previous generations, we should understand the dangers of inhaling these toxins. We have access to more medical information now than our grandparents' generation had. Therefore, we should be more aware with the risk that comes with vaping or smoking. As Kentuckians, we need to stand together to fix this issue. We can help educate young adults on the long-term effects of tobacco usage, vaping, and an unhealthy diet. If Joan and my grandmothers had been more educated on the effects of tobacco in their younger years, maybe their stories would have been different. We can also offer better screening options for early detection. If you detect cancer in its early stages, it might not have spread throughout your body, and treatment options are much more successful. Once again, if Joan and my grandmothers had been screened earlier, their cancers could have been detected at much earlier stages and treatment could have been more successful. It is important that everyone receive their annual health screenings, as issues can be revealed inside your body that you may not know are affecting your health, possibly in a devastating way. While it may not be preventable, there are many things you can do to reduce the risk of developing cancer. Healthy diets, regular exercise, abstaining from tobacco products, and yearly health screenings. Each of the ladies in this essay did some of the steps to improve their health as they aged. They also had regular visits to their doctors. However, it seems that many of their health issues were not reversible. In addition to blood screenings and other tests, physicians now recommend smokers have a yearly low-dose computerized tomography scan. Joan and my grandmothers were proactive in their health care as they aged. I have no doubt that, as suggested by their physicians, they would have gotten yearly CT scans as recommended for smokers. Would these newer protocols have helped my loved ones? I can only think that it would have. It would have given me the opportunity to share another birthday with Joan, make another batch of cookies with Memal, and take the Aruba trip with Ma. By doing some of these simple things, we can help mitigate the Appalachian cancer crisis. It is my goal in life to help people in the same situations that my family has encountered. I encourage all Kentuckians to be proactive and take a stand to help get rid of this cruel disease.